Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, someone once asked the famous Christian author C.S. Lewis, "Why do the righteous suffer?" "Why not?" he replied. "They're the only ones who can take it." That is an interesting phrase, especially because suffering is an ongoing part of this sinful world. When Adam and Eve sinned and ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they brought sin into the world. They brought death into the world. They brought pain and suffering into the world. Throughout the ages since then, we have been able to manage better and better pain as science and medicine progresses forward. But no matter what, no matter how hard we work to eliminate pain, we cannot eliminate suffering. There will always be suffering. We can be tempted to jump to the conclusion that we won't experience any more suffering because we follow Christ, but we're wrong. We will go through suffering. In Peter's first letter, Peter talks about the suffering that we experience. "For this is a gracious thing, when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly." What happens when you suffer for something that you did nothing wrong? It feels like unjustified suffering. A car accident happens. You weren't at any fault at all. It was the other driver that was reckless and crashed into you. The action was done to you, not by you. When it comes to the differences between unjustly and justly, it can be easy to figure out what is what. Examples of suffering justly are easy to see. Often we suffer the consequences of our own sins. We suffer paying the parking ticket when we sin by parking where we shouldn't. We suffer the consequence of a broken limb after walking or perhaps running too hastily on ice and falling. When we sin, there are consequences that we must suffer. Suffering justly would mean getting what our sins deserve. Our sins deserve death, hell, and damnation. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. When you sin and receive punishment, it can be easy to see why that happened. It's a very different thing when you do what you're supposed to and you're punished for it anyway. It can be hard to endure the punishment that you don't really deserve. You may say to yourself, "This isn't fair at all. This isn't just. Why is this happening to me?" The people Peter was writing to were asking this very same question as well. Why is this happening to us? We may ask this question as well as we suffer for our faith, suffer for sharing our faith with others. "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you might walk and follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." Christ came into the world to fulfill the law. He kept the law perfectly, and he did not sin. He lived a perfect life for you and for me. He could have simply done whatever it was that he wanted to, being he was and is perfect, he is God, but he didn't. He left for us an example of how to suffer. The one who never sinned in thought, word, and deed. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to the one who judges justly. The concept of payback is a major precedent in the world today. When someone wrongs us, we feel we have the permission, nay, the right, to wrong them in return. If someone cuts us off in traffic, as happened to me a week or two ago when I was going to a nursing home to give a service, the world would tell me, well, you can speed past them and break the law yourself, honk, do whatever you want to do. Don't worry, I didn't do that. But the world would tell you, that's okay, just do it. If someone steals from us, the world would say, well, you should steal back. Jesus even talks about retaliation in Matthew chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. We are called to suffer as Christ suffered. True, we suffer consequences for the sins that we commit, but we also suffer because we bear the name of Christ. At the end of verse 23 in our first Peter reading, we hear about him who judges justly. Who is that? That is God the Father. On our confirmation trip to St. Louis a few weeks ago, we talked a lot about God the Father. He is omniscient. He knows all. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. God, our Father, is eternal. As Isaiah 53 states, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. God was justly punishing your sin and mine when Christ hung upon the cross for us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Thanks be to God that we have a Savior who suffered for us. Because of Christ's own suffering, we are healed. Christ didn't run away from this suffering. He even prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane that it might be taken away. He went willingly to the cross for you and for me so that we could be forgiven of our sins. We are forgiven children of God. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We follow our shepherd Christ, who is indeed the good shepherd. We follow our shepherd who willingly took for us the suffering that you and I deserve. He who didn't retaliate, he who didn't fight back, he who was led like a lamb to the slaughter to be crucified for us. Christ suffered and died for us and on the third day rose again so that we might have life in him. We endure the suffering that this world gives us as Christ followers. But we know that because of Christ's suffering and death on the cross and his glorious resurrection, we receive the forgiveness of sins, salvation, and life everlasting. Amen. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.